You're listening to Ideal Practice, episode number 56. Being an entrepreneur, y'all, is never for the faint of heart. In many ways, running your own business will challenge you like nothing else. But I have found that certain principles help me stay steady, help me stick with it, keep going and growing, no matter what kind of craziness, chaos, and curveballs come my way. Today, I thought it might help to share some of those principles with you. So today I'm going to share with you the four mantras that I literally say to myself all the time. And stick around to the end because I've got a little exercise I want to invite you into that will make this even more helpful for you and the rest of us. So stay tuned. I'm Wendy Pitts Reeves, and with over two decades of experience in the private practice world, I've built my six-figure business while learning a lot of lessons the hard way. This is the first podcast that shows you how to apply the principles of energy, alignment, and strategy to build a practice that is profit-centered, but people-forward. This is the Ideal Practice Podcast. Hey, folks, this is Wendy. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ideal Practice Podcast. I'm recording this really quick before I take off for my weekly fiddle lesson. I did tell you guys that I'm trying to learn how to play violin, right? It's a very funny experience. It's quite humbling, let me just say that. And I have missed a few weeks because between the launch of my new mastermind and an out-of-town trip, things have just been kind of crazy over here. So I'm a little rustier than normal, which I just feel sorry for my teacher. That's what I'm going to say. And it occurs to me that this, I don't know why, but it kind of makes me think about the very first thing I want to share with you today. So what I wanted to share with you four key sayings, principles, frameworks, mantras that I use all the time. I say them to myself. I say them to people around me. If you have worked with me or been around me for any length of time, there's a really good chance you have heard me say all these as well. They keep me sane. They help me keep my head on straight. Sometimes they just remind me not to take things so seriously. There's a lot of different ways they help. And I thought I would share them with you today in case any of this helps you too. So the first one, which strangely enough, thinking about violin lessons brought to my mind was, one of the things I always say is, we all have issues. We all have issues. I say that to my counseling clients. I say that to my coaching clients. I don't care who you are. We all have things that we struggle with in some way. We compare ourselves to others, what one of my former coaches used to call going horizontal. This is a huge issue for entrepreneurs. We look at everyone around us. Well, they've got so many followers and they've got so many clients and they've got so many of this and that and the other. They're doing great. I'm not. We tend to do that very quickly. And we have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes with that other person, but we do tend to do that. We are terrible with our self-talk. Self-criticism is a huge issue for so many of us. So many of us struggle with feeling like we're not enough or like, you know, the whole concept around imposter syndrome. Sometimes the more successful my clients are, the more I see them struggling with this. Is it okay that I'm doing well? Is it okay that I'm making money? Is it okay that my business is growing? Is it okay that I'm finally standing up for myself for the first time ever? Yeah, it is. But all of that stirs stuff up. And it's really easy to think that you're the only one with those issues and nobody else has those problems. But that's so not true. The truth is, we all have issues. I'm thinking about the first time I went into therapy for myself was a long time ago. I had been promoted to a position. It was the first time I got promoted into a position of leadership where I was responsible for a team, for a department. I was very early in my career. I was not really ready for that, but I am the kind of person that if you throw it my way, I'm going to do my best to catch it. So I stepped into that role and gave it my best, but I really wasn't ready for it. And it was very, very hard on me in all kinds of ways. And I landed in therapy for the first time. And you know what it's like. It is never any fun to be the one who is vulnerable, to be the one who has to share, to be the one who has to open your heart and kind of take a look at what's in there. And I can remember sitting in the chair at my therapist's office at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning and I remember saying to her, what is all this? Good Lord, what is wrong here? Because I would just walk into her office and start crying for no reason, having a perfectly fine morning. I hated that. Hated it. But I remember her saying, she said, I know this is no fun, but this will make you a better therapist. And you know what? She was right. She was right for two reasons. One, because I understand that everybody really does have issues, and I don't care who you are. I don't have everything figured out. You don't have everything figured out. We are all doing the best we can. But also because I've never forgotten what that felt like. So of course I have true sympathy and empathy and compassion for what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that kind of work, to be the one who is vulnerable. It ain't easy. But y'all, we all have issues. Whether you're the coach or the therapist, whether you're the one that looks like you've got your act together or not, we all have issues. So the way to deal with those issues to me is to allow yourself to practice imperfection, to remember that we're all doing the best we can. I am a huge believer in self-compassion. I encourage my clients to practice this. I feel like the one way we can be kinder to others is by starting with ourselves. And most healers that I know are a lot nicer to everybody else than they are to themselves. So self-compassion is critical. And to be honest, a good, healthy, active sense of humor. Like it makes a big difference. So I'll say all that. So that's my first mantra that I live by. And I say all the time, we all have issues because we all do. So let's be kind to each other. Let's be patient with each other and especially with ourselves. The second mantra that I realize I say all the time, my kids have heard this their whole life, is there's more than one way to get where you want to go. There's more than one way you get to where you want to go. Now, those of you who, like my personal friends who've ever traveled with me, it's kind of a standing joke. I always tell people, have I ever told you that I spend most of my time lost? I've traveled a lot. I've been all over the U.S. I've been over a fair amount of Europe. I've been through Central America. I usually rent a car and drive when I go places, which means I get lost a lot and I'm very good at U-turns. But the truth is, there really is more than one way to get where you want to go. A few weeks ago, I shared with you, I celebrated the first anniversary here on the podcast. And one of the things I talked about in that episode was how I've tried different things along the way to figure out what works for me in terms of how I want to connect with you, how I want to stay in touch with you, how I want to share with you the information I have that I think could be helpful to you. And different things I've tried, some worked, some didn't. I started off with a blog. I did a very serious blog for a long time. I moved from that to a YouTube channel and the whole video thing. I landed here on the podcast. I talked about all this back in that episode. The truth is, if you're trying something and it's not quite working and you've tried it long enough to give it a good shot, try something else. There's always another way. Always. There's always more than one way to get where you want to go. Marie Forleo came out with a book a few years ago called Everything is Figureoutable, which is one of her phrases that she says all the time. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. If you try something and it doesn't work, back up, take another look, go get some coaching, go get some mentoring, talk it over with a friend, take a nap, sleep on it. The next day you'll figure it out. Always. It always works out that way. So there's more than one way to get where you want to go. The third mantra that I live by and have an annoying habit of saying to my clients all the time is that if you're not scared to death, you're not growing. If you're not scared to death, you're probably not growing. There's a quote that I often refer to when I give talks by a woman named Betty Bender that says, anything I've ever done that was ultimately worthwhile initially scared me to death. Yeah. Can you relate? I sure can. Anything I've ever done that was ultimately worthwhile initially scared me to death. There's just a lot of truth in that. Almost any meaningful growth is going to be scary. If you're just getting your practice off the ground and you're sending out letters to doctors, which one of my clients is working on, asking for referrals, that simple act, so-called simple act, can be really scary. If you're making your very first video, that can be really scary. If you're about to raise your prices, that can be really scary. Everything I've ever done that was worth anything was like big time, terribly, awful scary. When I stepped into that leadership role a moment ago when I became a department head, that terrified me. It was really, really hard. When I ran my first conference, I have, as a volunteer, this is all under volunteer roles, but I helped to develop a couple of pretty major conferences, one for adolescent girls, one for women in leadership, that I ran for several years. In each of those cases, I had never been in charge of anything like that before. It was really, really scary. I totally had to step into it and learn from it. Made plenty of mistakes along the way. Figured a few things out because, did I mention that there's more than one way to get where you want to go? Yeah. When I made the decision to run for office, some of you know that I served a term in local office. Good Lord, that was one of the scariest things I'd ever done in my life. So it is true that growth is almost always scary if it is meaningful in any way. And what's scary for you is not going to be the same as what's scary for somebody else. What looks really easy for one person is terrifying for another. This is another place for self-compassion, y'all. So I want to be careful about that. If there's something that's hard for you that looks easy for other people, for one, you don't know that it is. But for two, remember, practicing imperfection and self-compassion is key. Just understand that this is proof. This is a sure sign that growth is happening here. And that's kind of what it's all about, don't you think? If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to my conversation with Sarah McNamara, who is one of my former clients, in episode 54. Sarah talked a lot about the multiple times in her own evolution and her own growth that she has bumped up into whatever the next big fear was and what it was like to push through that. This is part of growing, y'all. So if you're not scared to death, you're not growing. Don't be too comfortable. There you go. And then number four, the last one I want to share is the guiding principle that underlies everything I do in my business. And you have heard me talk about this a lot. It is that good treatment is good business. And good business is good treatment. I actually apply that to all kinds of things. This stems from a story that I've told you about way back in the day when I worked at a pretty exclusive private psychiatric hospital. And we had a fella who admitted himself, but he flew in on his private helicopter and landed on the hospital grounds to admit himself. And at the same time he was there, we had a woman in treatment for a very long time who didn't have indoor plumbing. So one was crazy wealthy and one was dirt poor, and they both got really good quality care, the same quality care. That made a huge impact on me as a young clinician. I've never forgotten it, and I still see it today. When businesses of any kind, not just those like us in private practice, but even in the corporate world, when businesses do the right thing by their clients, by their employees, by their communities, often I think it also strengthens their bottom line, because the truth is that doing the right thing is the right thing. The problem with us as healer is that we tend to think that doing the right thing is good for everybody else, but not for us. And we get things kind of skewed and sort of backwards, where we think we can't do what's right for us without hurting other people, which is simply not true. That's a story. That's a fallacy. That is a cultural myth. It is absolutely not true. It is why the Ideal Practice Podcast and I am here, right? Because I really, really want to change that way of thinking. The remedy for this, for that kind of thinking, for our this is to understand that boundaries serve everyone, that an exchange of money is an exchange of energy and equal value for the services and the good that you bring to the table, and that healthy money management, especially, is a therapeutic issue. I talked about this early on because this really is such a big deal to me and something that I feel really strongly about. If you'll go way back and listen to episode 5, it's called How Healthy Money Boundaries Serve Your Clients. I talked about this issue there. It's a core principle that I think should be foundational to your success in your private practice. So there you are. Those are my four kind of core things, principles that I say probably every single day. We all have issues, so be kind to others and be kind to yourself. There's more than one way to get to where you want to go. So if it ain't working, back up, try an alternate route. If you're not scared to death, you're probably not growing. So if you're a little too comfortable, it might be time to get up and move a little bit. And good treatment is good business, and good business is good treatment. Be kind to your clients, be kind to yourself, and run your business well. It will serve both of you. So that's what I've got to share with you today. What I would love to hear from you is, do you have a favorite mantra, a quote, a principle that tends to guide you day by day in a lot of things that you do, one or two? If you do, I would love for you to post that on Facebook and tag me with it so I can learn from it, benefit from it, and share it too, because I will. I'll be happy to. And let's share our collective wisdom as a community. How about that? Because you never know who you're going to inspire. Somebody else needs to hear exactly that same principle that you live by every day. So that's what I have for you guys today. I hope you have a great week, everyone. I hope that you find wisdom everywhere you go. And I will see you next time here on the Ideal Practice Podcast. Bye now. Hey, y'all, do you ever get overwhelmed with all there is to do to grow and manage your private practice? I know there are a ton of things fighting for your attention, taking care of clients, keeping up with the billing, much less sorting out your marketing and all of that. You name it, it's a lot. So gosh, how do you know like what to work on at each phase as your practice grows? Well, I've got you covered. I've put together a little quiz, a tool that will help you take stock of your practice as a whole. And when you complete it, you will know exactly what to work on next. It's based on my proprietary framework, the 7 pillars of an ideal practice. This really quick and easy process will guide you through a series of questions that will help you identify for yourself where your practice is solid and where it might need a little work. I call it the IP360 scorecard. And honestly, you can finish this in less than 10 minutes. Not only that, but once you've completed it, I'll also send you some guidance on how to think about your scores in the context of which phase of development your practice is in. And the best part, it's completely free. When you go to my website, wendypittsreeves.com/360, you'll find a complete description of the scorecard and how it's going to help you. And from there, guys, it's just a simple click of a button or two to get your own. So go get your copy today, complete it, fill it out, and figure out where your practice is ready to go next.